Our scripture this morning actually comes from three different places, the Old Testament and the epistles from Paul. And I actually would like you to read along with me. Our first one is from the Old Testament prophet Micah. And this is one of the scriptures that we use on our mission trip. So let's join together. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And our next one is from Paul's letter to the Romans. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. And from his letter to the Hebrews, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. May God add a blessing to our reading and understanding of these words. So in your bulletin, you will see in the back pages, there's a little photo montage of pictures taken from our mission trip. And so as we're talking and telling some stories, those pictures will give you a little bit of life to what we're talking about. So mission trips. Last week, somebody asked me, and other people have asked me throughout time, why do churches go on mission trips? So I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, mission trips really exist here at Southport for one reason, and that is to make connections with people. On our trips, I begin every week with a story called The Porcupine Whose Name Doesn't Matter. It's from the book The Way of the Wolf by Martin Bell, and it's a take on the gospel. It's a long story, it's a sad story, but in short, it's the story of a porcupine who befriends a raccoon who's been hurt. And over time, they develop a strong relationship. But the porcupine, even though he's there to help, never really commits. He's there in body, but he doesn't ever share his most vulnerable self. And this, I feel, is the story of many of the kids from Red Shirt Table on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And it's also our story. It's a story of presence and love and acceptance, no matter what, to children who are hurting. Why? Because everyone needs intimacy. We go out there because everyone needs loving relationships. We're there because everyone needs someone to care for them, even if it's only 1 week out of the year. Also got me to thinking about, you know what people don't need? They don't need answers or opinions or suggestions on how they could make their lives better. And so that's also part of our purpose of being on a mission trip, simply to be loving and accepting presence. So we've been out there 13 years now, which is hard to believe. Some years you have anguished with me as I've told you the stories of the pains, but this year was a special year. It was a spectacular year, I am happy to report. And because of that longevity with our people out there, we have created some very strong relationships with the children, many of whom we've known since they were newborns. And these children, despite all these experiences that they have to go through, are really, really wonderful kids. They have experienced more pain and sadness in their short times of being alive than most of us will experience in our lifetimes. But it doesn't dampen their souls. It doesn't crush their enthusiasm. It doesn't close them off from being able to be loved by us and cared for by us and in relationship with us. And that, I think, really comes down to the fact that we are there to simply be with them. We're not there to save them. We're not there to solve their problems. We go there to be with them. Just to be with them. And it's a really hard thing to do sometimes, to be there with someone in need and not do what most of us want to do naturally when we see people in distress, and that's solve the problem, give the answers. Oftentimes, our tongues swing into high speed and we overflow with kind of glib sayings and spiritual moralisms because we get nervous when people are in pain. We get nervous when we have to sit with someone who's truly suffering. But I think what you find on a mission trip is that really very few words help. Words sometimes even make things worse. They can irritate or distance us from the very people we're trying to help. So what we do is we use a different tool, one that makes the simple gift of intimacy possible. We use our actual physical presence. And we also are comfortable with our silence. Those two things are mixed in with plenty of hugs, piggyback rides, and even with comforting laps for a peaceful and restful nap. Is it a hard thing to do? It is. But it's harder, I've observed, for our adults, me included, than it is for teens. Teens still understand that when they're going through hard times, they need a presence of love more than they need a lecture. They need a hug of support and the freedom to choose and to make mistakes and make the right choices more than they need parents to interfere with that. And yes, silence can be very hard because when we're silent in the face of someone who's suffering, we begin to feel helpless. And when we talk or actively are doing something, we feel helpful. So one of the things that we experience on mission trips is that to bring comfort, we must learn to be comfortable with feeling helplessness. The Apostle Paul advises us, weep with those who weep. Basically, he's saying, those who are hurting are often helped more by a kindred spirit who's shedding tears of empathy than by wise advice or counsel. And Proverbs says, he who sings to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day or one who puts vinegar on a wound. Ouch. Sometimes we act as if the best gift that God has given us is our voice, our words, information, answers, opinions. But in reality, what we learn on mission trips is that God's best gift may well be God's quiet, caring presence that we feel amid our confusion and our struggles with what we face out there. So I think we conclude that the best gift we can give is our presence. It's our laughing, our hugging, our waiting, our listening, our smiling, our sharing of joy, our just being there. And once we can get over this tendency to fix them, we can find the quiet strength to just walk with them in whatever space they're in. There's a saying I came across a couple years ago that I think says this very well. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. So today we're going to hear the experience of other participants on this trip. First, you'll hear from Sydney King, who has been on many trips, her brother Aiden King. The two of them are going to talk with you about two specific kids from the reservation that they have special relationships with. And then, although you will not hear directly from him, he was at the beach this morning, but our main event this year was Mr. Jeffo. You may know him as Jeff Provost, but he has been a professional magician for decades. He started learning magic when he was 8 years old. And our theme was, it's magic. So we brought with us Mr. Jeffo, and he came to teach the kids magic, and with that came confidence and pride and a sense of accomplishment that we had never seen before. It was truly magical. And one thing that educators know now is that when kids are given opportunities in a caring environment to struggle to achieve a hard problem when they're young, they'll actually have more confidence to try the next harder problem in the future. So by teaching magic, we hope to create more confident children. And so I will read to you his words after you hear from Sydney and Aiden, and then we'll hear from Channing Malkin, and then our new high school youth group president, Matilda Nichols, will wrap it up. So, Sydney?
Good morning. Today, I'm going to talk to you all about a then-child, now-young-adult who has been incredibly pivotal to my life path, as you can tell from my 8-year streak of joining on a mission trip. I've always gravitated towards the underdogs. So, my first mission trip, when an overweight, class clown, broken-eyed boy came to camp, I wanted to be paired up with him. On Monday, he and his sibling came drowsily up the driveway to school, understandably trepidatious and resistant to our pleading introductions. The little ones are easy. You give them a few piggyback rides and you have a new best friend. I, for some reason, wanted a challenge. So I went over to the boy and his friend, both sullen, their eyes almost entirely covered by their long bangs. I learned his name is Josiah. He came with his little sister, Halea, a fiery girl who could keep up with the boys, and I love that. Josiah was my brother's age at the time, and he became like a younger brother to me, and later a friend to my own brother. He opened up to me that first summer. I could see through his goofy facade. He was insecure. He wasn't the coolest or the most athletic or the smartest, neither was I. But we were still and are inherently valuable, inherently special. And I wanted to make sure that Josiah understood his value. Over the years, I have grown to love and care for 5 more of Josiah's siblings, and there's one more on the way. Their family is a staple in a community always in flux. There were years where I would come back to the reservation and hated bringing them home after camp. Others where it seemed like their parents really got it together. This year, they really, really had it together. In fact, this year, Josiah graduates high school, and Southbrook Congregational Church is giving him the opportunity to attend a technical school to continue his education. And I just got goosebumps saying that. These are accomplishments I often worried he would not attain. I couldn't be more proud. Now he's older and our relationship has changed. Subtle check-ins while I let him hang out with the boys. But the love is always there. Josiah and his siblings feel like an extended family. Truly and genuinely, I couldn't imagine my life without them now. A couple of weeks every summer may not seem like much. But give us one day in Red Shirt, and I promise it will fill everyone up with love for the rest of their year. Thank you. And now my brother Aiden.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here to talk about a camper named Xavier. X-Man, Spider-Man, and the Daredevil. These are a few of the many nicknames that my friend Xavier goes by. A story that will make you understand such nicknames took place at this year's camp. When we were showing the kids a chained escape magic trick, X was eager to attempt the escape himself. When we put the handcuffs on him, Kieran and I purposely put them very tight so he wouldn't be able to get out. We didn't want him to figure out the trick just yet. He then, within 10 seconds, somehow escaped the chains, shocking everybody there. He's definitely a character, but that's what I love about him so much. 6 years ago, I went on my first trip to Red Shirt Table. I was overwhelmed, confused, and nervous, That was until the first day of camp, when a small kid with the most mischievous smile I have ever seen approached me. "Hey," he said. "Hey, dude," I said back. And from that moment on, we stuck together for not only the rest of the week, but several years as well. Teaching Xavier was difficult. He struggled with counting and sounding out three-letter words. And even worse, he made it very clear that he wanted nothing to do with class. Often he would run straight to the playground and climb as high as possible. Understanding that he came here on his own decision, I chose to be patient with him. By the last few days of camp, he became more and more attentive to the actual coursework. He was figuring out how to read and write some larger words and getting his basic addition problems down, all with that smile on his face. Beyond the classroom, X and I created a real bond. I truly believe that once he understood I was sticking with him, I could be someone that he could talk to. As the years went on, I noticed a pattern with Xavier. Entering camp, he did not have confidence in his academic skills. But once he was surrounded by people that were authentically supporting him, he was able to excel. From not being able to add single-digit numbers to 6 years later, winning math games with ease, Xavier never ceases to amaze me when he believes in himself. Being able to grow up with such a fantastically unorthodox child has been a pleasure of mine, and I believe that this camp has allowed him to grow into a more confident person who appreciates his uniqueness. Thank you.
Okay, now pretend I'm Jeff Provost. Our SCC mission trip to South Dakota capitalized on truly being there in the moment. Our group, especially the high school youth, never missed an opportunity to give these Lakota kids a warm hug at precisely the right moment, an encouraging word or two, yet another piggyback ride around the powwow grounds, or a friendly and safe lap to sit on when it was time to slow down the pace to read a story or just look over the busy and active camp scene. A few things I noticed about teaching and performing magic for the Lakota. Number one, simple props go a long way and are valued. These kids comparatively have so little that an empty matchbox, a couple of coins, a rubber band, and a deck of playing cards made them feel like it was a birthday party every day. Number two, dressing up is key. During one of our art classes, the kids designed their own capes and hats. You can see a picture of them in the on the right-hand side of the page. And Jeff says, if you're going to do magic, it's important to look like a magician. And the absolute joy on the faces of these children was priceless. Number three, showing how to do magic is good, but watching children do magic is even better. For most kids that he works with in Connecticut, getting to learn the secret of a magic trick is the number one top priority. But for these Lakota kids, while they were thrilled to learn how it was done, they were equally intrigued and interested in performing it. Trying to remember to say the right script, the story around the magic trick, in what order, how to hold their hands, when to wave their magic fingers. The fact that we had 17 Oglala kids learn, practice throughout the week, rehearse, and then perform in a Friday magic show for every single one of them, the first time they have ever performed in front of a group, was truly amazing. Number four, magic can and does boost self-confidence. While I've known this to be true for decades, I've never seen the art of magic encourage and boost kids quite like I did with this red shirt table kid. If you watch the video on the church's Instagram that was shot of little Devante performing the ball and vase trick for a small group, which included his mom, you'll see it there in his face the moment that the magic happened. You can also see it on the face of his mother, who was completely astounded at her son's ability to do this trick. That video captures those moments beautifully. Devante just beams with pride and confidence, and it was a real wow moment. And then Jeff wraps it up saying, when we weren't focusing our attention on the Lakota kids and Native families, we were truly enjoying our time together as a church mission group. The best way I can describe it all is fellowship in motion. This was the first time I ever have been involved in a mission trip of any kind, and I know that I'll never forget it. It really was magic.
Magic brings a sense of excitement to anyone that hears those words. We may think of Houdini escaping out of his straitjacket, or the magic Jeffo finding a donut amidst a soul rope. Though now and forever, when I hear the word magic, my mind will transcend back to that indescribable week in South Dakota. The children at Red Shirt Table became magicians for 5 consecutive days. Though I felt I witnessed magic many other times on this trip, not just solely when they were showing me their skills and talents. What struck me was seeing how magical Southport Congregational Church has become to these kids. Seeing most of the same of them each day appear from Mr. Joliet's truck filled me with joy, knowing that they would be cared for and feel loved for the next 6 hours. Their act of simply showing up helped me realize how truly magical and exceptional the summer camp is, creating bountiful friendships, teaching them how to be kind, love themselves, while also challenging their minds. I felt blessed and truly honored that I was given the opportunity to learn about their lives, community, and history, to try to help change the future and the narrative that our society and country fails to truly tell. The most appalling act of magic throughout this entire trip, to me, was the act of concealment of the history of the Lakota and Native American tribes, as well as the suppressed information of the honest truth of the past that hasn't been taught to adolescents, as well as let alone adults. It aggravated and aggrieved me to think that I had never heard of the Battle of the Wounded Knee, never learned about the thousands of lives lost. And on top of that, thousands of members of our country, when one says the word boarding school, think of the type of school I go to, ignorant to the ghastly actions of our country's past. The forced Catholic assimilation, abuse, and loss of all and any culture, so as to kill the Indian and save the man. A disappearing act in our news that I wish was never an act of magic. A week educating those less fortunate and educating myself isn't going to change our society, but is a step in the right direction so as to help change their narrative while informing others on their past. This direction, and a direction that I and many more won't allow to again become a coin placed into a matchbox, easy to vanish and never appear again. Thank you. And here's Matilda.
Hi, everyone. Since COVID turned our world upside down, this was my first year on the mission trip. The moment I stepped foot in South Dakota, I announced to my peers, I'm retiring out here. Maybe it was the cheap gas prices, but whatever it was, I knew this place was special. Instead of talking about one singular experience I had on this trip, I'm gonna list my top 3 reasons why South Dakota is special and why you should retire out here too. 1. Tons of nature and scenic value. I mean, where else can you see a buffalo 15 minutes from your house? The air quality is great, so much better than New York City, and the endless land and green makes you feel like you can just escape in the hills. On the trip, we visited the Badlands, or what we call the knockoff Grand Canyon, And now I feel like I don't have to travel to Arizona to see the real one. Nature wasn't the only great thing about this trip. Two, the community. If it was the kids on the reservation to the 452 people living in Hermosa, South Dakota, you could feel the love and connection between the people and you. We got to share a family dinner with the Hermosa community during a locally run potato bake, and their stories are crazy. From Tom, who moved from Texas after spending years being a fighter pilot, to Shelly and Pop, who spent their entire lives in South Dakota raising their kids and running the best grocery store in town. Also the only grocery store in town. It's great to see all different types of people come together and talk and bond and share their similarities and differences. I mean, that's more of a sense of community than the Ludlow cafeteria tables. It really shows how special these people in South Dakota are. Three, the reservation. It was a privilege as a high schooler to be able to travel all this way to South Dakota. This whole trip has been eye-opening and reminded me how grateful we all should be for the lives we live and the experiences we get. We learned about the history and culture of the Lakota tribe, helping me understand truly the impact we are giving these kids during our camp. On the reservation, some of these kids might not have the best home life, but when they show up to camp at 9 a.m., their focus is just on us and having a great time. The age range at camp was huge, from Damien, who is only months old, to 18-year-old Josiah. They each showed up with huge smiles on their faces, ready to learn each subject that day. The children on the res were all unique, and I could go on about every single one and how they brought a new aspect of joy to the camp, but instead, I'm just gonna talk about this time we had a water fight. The 95 degrees we experienced this past week is nothing like the weather out there. Yet the kids still show up in black sweatshirts and sweatpants in the boiling sun. So when Laura brought out a hose and a sprinkler, whoa, I knew this would be a memorable experience. All the kids dumping water on each other, laughing their heads off, and chasing every high schooler with cups of water was a great way to spend a hot summer day and truly bond with the kids during the scorching heat. This trip has brought me friendships that will last a lifetime and experiences I will never forget. This trip has changed me for the better and also changed my perspective on life. I realized that when I remove myself from what I think are stresses here in Connecticut, I lived completely in the moment and with a mindset that drove me to want to help others in the best way possible. I would do anything to go back right now, and as hard as it is to believe, Mom, Dad, I actually loved being out there without my phone for the week. So if my speech hasn't persuaded you enough, I urge you to join the Family Week next summer and experience South Dakota and the people for yourself. I promise you, you'll be making plans for your retirement before you leave. Thank you.
She tries to tell me that she hates public speaking and that she gets really nervous. None of us believe it. So, closing, the nice thing about this mission is that we are there for the Red Shirt Table community for the long haul, providing God's love, our personal touches, and putting our faith into action. But we all recognize that it's not just on those mission trips that we are doing something. We do it with your love and your support behind us. This happened at the beach too. I get so caught up when I have to talk about love and generosity. So on behalf of each of our youth and adults who participated on the mission trip, thanks to each one of you for being there with us, in your support, in your prayers, in your caring, and in your love. Together we share this important part of our ministry. And as Jesus said in a parable, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen.